Good evening. It was once said, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I remember in, I think it was Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been arrested. They had been ordered not to preach in the name of Jesus. They were let go and they went back to their local congregation there. And the Bible says they prayed. And the main push of that prayer was that the Lord would let them speak boldly. You know what happened? It said the building they were in shook. And you know what those people did afterwards? They spoke the word boldly. Prayer. We have something and we don't understand it. We have the privilege to go to the Father in prayer. Wouldn't that be amazing if we didn't like something the president did? He could just dial a number and Mr. Bush and soon to be Mr. Obama would answer and say, what's the problem, Monty? And we could talk with him. Well, we've got a bigger man that we can go and talk to. Why don't we? What is it about prayer that we don't use it properly? You know, Satan fears a praying man and a praying woman, Miss Ruth. He fears the prayer of the righteous. Can you imagine if a whole congregation of righteous men and women pray, it would shake the foundations of the earth? Why don't we pray? We were here this evening and there was few that were here to pray. They were all righteous, I'm sure. But where were the others? Does Satan want us praying? Absolutely not. Do you think this evil one is going to step in the way and hinder our prayer? Well, he does it quite effectively, I think. Quite effectively. So what are some of these hindrances that Satan loves to use effectively against the people of God? First, I've got listed time pressure. Do you have a set time for prayer? A time when every single day you stop your life and pray? Some people do. Some like the morning. A time of devotion, a time of prayer. Some prefer night. Some other times. Yet, to so many, time seems to be a problem. The morning is hectic. Having to get up, get the kids up, get the husband up, make breakfast, eat breakfast, wash clothes, hang clothes up. When do we have time to pray in the morning? What about evening? After a hard day of work, JC, we're tired, aren't we? Prayer. Where do we fit it in? In the middle of the day, I'm at work. I'm at school. Can't pray in school, can we? Oh, no. There's always something that keeps us distracted that we cannot pray. Let me just read something to you from Jesus' life. This is found in Mark 3, verse 20. Then Jesus went home. But again, a crowd gathered. There were so many people that Jesus and his followers could not eat. It's amazing, though, isn't it? Sometimes I have trouble finding time to pray, but I've never had a problem finding a time to eat. But Jesus' life was so busy that he and his disciples, there were days when they just didn't have time to eat. Wow. He felt a constant demand from people, a constant push of people against him. I mean, they were hurting. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to be blessed. They needed counsel. They needed the closeness of the Lord God, even though they may not have known that Jesus was the Lord God. But Jesus understood that. Yet, Jesus always found the time for a rich and full prayer life. Jesus saw the need for a balanced life. You know, sometimes we try to push off, you know, he's God. And, you know, naturally he could do that kind of stuff. But you know, Jesus was a man exactly like us. He had these time pressures against him. And Jesus always found time to pray because he knew he needed it. He knew that a balanced life made time for prayer and devotion to God, studying the Word. He did not let these demands of others keep him from this time. You ask how? Well, let's read another verse in Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus woke and left the house. He went to a lonely place where he prayed. Wow. You mean I have to give up some of my sleep time to pray to God? Jesus did. Did Jesus need this time of prayer? Oh, he must have. I just can't imagine him getting up before the sun. I hate getting up before the sun. I like waking up and have some of that light shining through my window. I know I wake up better. But Jesus got up while it was still dark because he needed prayer time. He understood. He needed this time for prayer. So, knowing that he needed it, he left others sleeping and went alone to pray. Time pressure is not so much a lack of time as a distorted sense of priority. How often have we said, I wish I had more time? I think we've all said that. I don't know, Mario, have you ever said that? I don't know if Germany had such a saying. How many minutes are in an hour? Does wishing that we had more time add to that? How many hours does a day have? Does wishing that we had more time add more hours to a day? Our government likes to push them around a little bit here and there, at least twice a year. If some people accomplish more than others, it is not because they have more time, is it? Why do some people always manage to accomplish more than others? Which is usually always more than I accomplished in a day. Well, what is it that helps people accomplish more than others? Priority. How we use that time. Jesus used his quite well because he knew what was important for him. If we neglect prayer because our days do not seem to contain enough time, our problem is not time. Jesus gave his unbroken communication with his Father the highest priority, to the point where he got up when others slept so he could find time to talk to the Father. Another hindrance is despising others. Our relationship with people, other people, plays a role in our prayer life. Jesus told a parable about two men who went to the temple to pray. It's found in Luke 18. There was a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee, no doubt a man renowned for his prayer life. I'm sure this man prayed a lot, because it appears he was well known. And listen to his prayer. Luke 18, verses 11 and 12. God, I thank you that I am not like other people who steal, cheat, or take part in adultery, or even like this tax collector. I give up eating twice a week, and I give one-tenth of everything I get. Interesting prayer, isn't it? Interesting prayer. One writer said of this man, he had a good eye on himself, a bad eye on his fellow man, and no eye at all on God. The Pharisee is a good illustration of the eroding, corrosive nature of pride. Aren't I a good Christian? Look at all that I do as a Christian. God, aren't you proud of me? Was basically what this man was praying. And he likes to bring the attention also to sinners. Probably with a sneer on his lips, he said, I'm better than this tax collector. Way better. Jesus clearly taught the need for a right relationship with others before we come to worship. Matthew 5, 23 and verse 24. So when you offer your gift to God at the altar, and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go and make peace with that person, and then come and offer your gift. Did you hear that? Do we have somebody this evening that has a problem with us? If we do, you should honestly get up right now and go make it right with them. Because that's what Jesus said to do before you come to worship God. Although we can pray freely and ask of all that we need according to His will, we need to remember that our attitude toward others affects our relationship with God. John sums up this relationship by stating that one cannot love God and not love his brother. Cannot do it. Pride also focuses on self and self-accomplishments. The Pharisee reminded God of what such a good servant he was. This man went to pray, didn't he? He asked for nothing, he received nothing, and he went home worse than he was before he prayed. He had come into God's presence without receiving a blessing. Such is the nature of pride. Another hindrance is vain repetition of prayer. Perhaps at this stage in our study, someone is thinking, this seems too easy. All I have to do is ask according to God's will, and He'll give me all I can ask or think. However, God's willingness to answer prayer does not relieve us of our responsibilities. Jesus also taught the need for a holy life. Jesus also spoke of prayers that were vain repetition. Matthew 6, verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Is he condemning the praying of the same thing more than once? How do you know that? And did not Jesus himself pray the same prayer three times in the garden? So he cannot be saying it is wrong to repeat a prayer request. Well, he was right. The word vain is very important. What are vain repetitions? It is repeating the same prayer without thought to its meaning. It is reciting a bedtime prayer while thinking about what we're going to be doing tomorrow. Often we learn to pray from listening to others. There are some very good sayings that we like to say in prayer. We always tend to pray for missionaries on foreign soil without naming any. We like to pray for the sick and afflicted without mentioning who the sick are and what they're afflicted with. And my favorite one, and I don't mean to make anybody mad, but a lot of people will pray for the ready recollection of the preacher. Are they thinking we're going to forget what we worked on for a couple hours? One time someone prayed that I have a ready recollection, and I think someone else was praying that evening. We need to be careful not to be saying these things just because they sound cute. Do we mean it? Is there meaning behind our words? Because I think that's what he's talking about by vain repetition. Saying something just because someone else has said it and not having any idea what we're talking about. Prayer, both private and public, should be the sincere expression of a person's search for the will of God. What did they pray for in Acts chapter 4? Boldness to speak the word of God. They had just been threatened with death if they did. And did God answer their prayer? He shook that house and he gave them what they asked for, the ability to speak the word of God boldly. Another hindrance, praying to be seen of others. Jesus was rebuking both the present practice and the future temptation when he said, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray so people will see them." I love this word hypocrite. It's a Greek word. Does anybody know what that word means? An actor. So a hypocrite is one who acts out a role. Not necessarily something he believes, but a role. I have nothing against actors. But prayer is not a time to be acting. Jesus is not saying that it's wrong to pray in public. We pray today at lunch. We were at Lampoos. Good food. What is wrong is to pray solely to be seen by others. Some Pharisees gained a reputation for piety as a result of their public prayer life. And I think this Pharisee that Jesus was talking about was one of them. A lot of times they'll pray with their hands up in the air, and this guy, he asked for nothing at all. He was only telling God how lucky he was to have him as a servant. Remember, he asked for nothing, and he received nothing. Jesus condemned this action, praying only to be seen by man, that mankind or that the people would say, "Oh, look how pious this man is." those who direct prayers in public should be constantly aware of this danger. It is easy to be concerned more with the earthly listeners than with the Heavenly Father, isn't it? I once read of a review by a church service. It was in a newspaper. What do they call the guy who writes those articles? The who? The reporter, that's the word. The reporter said this. I've got to find it. Oh, yeah. He heard this prayer being preached, and in commenting, he said, "This was undoubtedly one of the finest prayers ever offered to man." Well, if this prayer was offered to man, God never got a hold of it. Jesus gave a sober warning against those who pray with the praise of men in view. He said in Matthew 6:5, at the end of that verse, "I tell you the truth, they already have their full reward." And the original language, that word, that's full reward, is a business term. We would say in today's English, paid in full. Jesus is saying that people who pray with the praise of others in mind will get human praise, but nothing more. This is their pay in full. Praise of men. The Father who is in secret has no further reward for them. To overcome the danger of pride in prayer, Jesus urged us to withdraw from the world. He said in Matthew 6:6, "When you pray, you should go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret, and He will reward you." Now, Jesus is not saying that for our prayer to be acceptable, we can only pray in our house. That we have to go into a closet or a small room all by ourselves and pray. Jesus is not saying this, because He did authorize public prayer, didn't He? He did Himself pray and bless the food before the 5,000, didn't He? And before the 4,000. So what was He talking about? Jesus is giving the antidote to pride. We should shut out the fact that people are watching and listening. We should withdraw our mind from any distraction, keep our prayer in secret, because God will reward it. The prayer is to who? It's to God. Let's keep it that way. The Father hears in secret what's in our hearts. Prayer is not without its hindrances and dangers. These, however, usually come from within ourselves, don't they? If we allow ourselves to be hindered in prayer, we are also able to overcome these hindrances. Prayer life is important. Prayer life is to the Father, from those who know they depend upon God. Prayer once shook a house in Jerusalem. Think what the prayers of the saints in Plymouth could do if we prayed as His church in Plymouth. We would shake not only the foundations of this building, I think we would shake the very foundations of the whole city of Apopka if our prayer life was as it should be. How is your prayer life this evening? How is your heart before the Lord? You can make it right this night if you want to. God is ready and open and waiting. Do you need prayers of the church? Do you need the foundations of your life shaken? Do you need to put on the Lord Jesus in baptism? And this is the night as we stand and sing.